Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
All right, it is currently 8:14, and the results of the election are in for the most part. Ed Shervinak joins us now, our friend, professor of political science in my alma mater, UNO, to discuss. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing fine, Tommy. How are you this morning?
I'm all right, sir. Were you surprised at all by what occurred on Saturday night? Well, the results that came in on Saturday night. The voting was, you know, before that. You know what I'm saying.
Yes, yes. I wasn't really surprised that Helena Moreno won in the primary. She was at or near 50% support in all the polls, and that never really wavered. She was her support was very consistent despite all the attacks. And that, given the high turnout, that signaled that people were motivated, they were enthusiastic, and they were looking for change. And she was perceived as the change candidate. I think... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I want to hear you. I'm here every day, Ed.
she was perceived as a change candidate. And so, you know, people, the message that she sent resonated, that she has the experience and she has the drive and energy and the know-how to move City Hall in a different direction.
So the word mandate has been used a lot. Is this a mandate? It would seem to me if you're looking at a mandate, this would be one of them, combining the turnout and the percentage of the vote that she got.
Yeah, percentage of the vote and also the margin of victory over 30 points. Mm-hmm. That indicates, you know, very strong support. The other two candidates were more likely to be perceived as status quo. And so... You know, she has a mandate for change. She's asked for this position. People have given it to her. It's, you know, winning the office is the easy part. Governing is going to be the more difficult task.
When it comes to the candidate herself, and I don't mean this in any negative way at all, but she is a telegenic woman. She is a personable woman. She has a track record behind her. If you were going to look for a candidate for mayor, it'd be hard to find somebody that has more positives than Helena Moreno, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you're right. She, if you were to build a candidate from scratch,
an AI-generated candidate, so to speak, right?
Yes, she's very knowledgeable. She does have a record. She's not afraid to take on some of the hard tasks. She mentioned, you know, the hardening of the power grid. Without ratepayers having to pay, the relocation of people from Gordon Plaza, getting the power plant for Sewerage and Water Board, getting the funding for that. So she has a very positive record to run on. She has high favorability ratings. People like her. And she's relentless when it comes to campaigning. She'll show up at events, and she is very engaging, and so she's a model candidate. Now we'll find out if she's going to be a model mayor.
I think her background in journalism is going to help her out, because as a journalist, you kind of have to see both sides of it, and you realize And I guess a lot of lawyers would, you know, I guess maybe I'm contradicting myself here because a lawyer can argue a case from both sides of the table, right? But as a journalist, sometimes you get to see both sides of it and you dig deep and you see where the real problems are, and maybe it can help you become more of a problem solver. Thoughts?
Well, certainly her role as a journalist introduced her to New Orleans, where she probably got to see both sides of some issues. But, you know, she's had 8 years in the state legislature as a state rep, where she got to, you know, deal with domestic violence issues. And she's had 8 years as an at-large member of the city council. So she's an establishment candidate. So she's well-grounded in terms of what the issues are, what the problems are, what the deficiencies are, and hopefully what the solutions are.
So where do you begin? Because, first of all, the bar was pretty low right after LaToya Cantrell. Before we get to where you begin, does this remind you of any elections in the past, Ed, mayoral elections in New Orleans?
I think the 2010 election with Mitch Landrieu, that was the last time that a candidate won an open seat in a primary. So that's a parallel. And that, you know, there was probably the same dynamics in the campaign, that where one candidate was focused on identity politics, basically arguing that, you know, they're native of New Orleans and that they're more in sync with the city's black majority, versus a more performance-based theme in the campaign that, and we heard Mitch Landrieu say this, "I know what to do and I know how to do it." And mm-hmm. I think in that sense, there's some parallels between 2010 and this election.
What kind of honeymoon period does she have, and at what point do people say, okay, well, the permit office is still not working, surge in water board, first heavy rainfall, streets flood, et cetera, et cetera?
You know, so Mother Nature may decide how long her honeymoon period is. You know, usually, you know, she'll have the transition period. She'll put together her team and her administration, work out an agenda with the city council, and then, you know, anywhere from 3 to 6 months she'll have this honeymoon period, and then, of course, you know, decisions will be made. Some people will not be happy with those decisions, and criticism will increase, and so that's kind of the normal cycle when we start these new administrations.
Now, let me take a break. We'll talk about sheriff when we come back, some of the city council races as well. Ed Chervenak, our guest, professor of political science at UNO, or my alma mater, a resounding victory for Helena Moreno, the next mayor of the city of New Orleans. 820 traffic now, WWL. 825, Tommy Tucker, WWL, recapping the election on Saturday. Great job, by the way, by Dave Cohen and Newell Norman and Ed Cuvion. For John Cuvion for their coverage on Saturday night and calling the election very early. Ed Chervenak, our guest, a professor of political science at UNO. Ed, the sheriff's race, again, not very close. There was some pretty low-hanging fruit there. Was there any surprises there at all for you?
You know, we had, in our poll, we had Michelle Woodfork at 44%, so we figured she had a good chance. But she was, you know, confronted by a lot of negative advertising from other campaigns, so there was a question of whether she would get the 50% plus one, but she easily attained the numbers that she needed to win outright.
Any cause or any correlation between negative ads and not working so well, or just a coincidence?
You know, sometimes these ads work. The idea behind negative ads is to soften the support of your opponent. It's not about trying to mobilize people. And it appears that people just ignored those ads and decided that they were going to vote for Woodfork.
Tell me what's going on with Clerk of Criminal Court, because it seemed to have gotten ugly at one point, and I don't think it's going to get any prettier with the runoff, right?
It did get ugly, and it's kind of a unique contest. You had an incumbent who was outraised in funding by someone who has no experience and has never held elective office. And so that's cause for concern if you're the incumbent. And not only that, but the challenger did get more votes than the incumbent Darren Lombard got. So we're going to see how ugly or not this runoff will be. But it's very interesting that someone can come in and raise $38,000 and challenge the incumbent and be successful.
So of the council races that are left, which is likely to be the tightest?
I think they're both going to be tight. District A, we have two former staffers of Joe Geruso who know each other, and they're going to promote their strengths. Holly Friedman has done constituency service, and so she'll reach out to folks and say, look, I know your concerns. Amy McCarron, her emphasis is on budgeting, and so she can say, look, the city council is facing a major budget problem, maybe even a crisis, and that I have the know-how to help deal with that. So I think that's going to be a close, tight race.
Knowing Joe Geruso and his staff, I find it hard to believe that one's going to go low. You think?
It's hard to say. You know, politics is divisive. Politics is violence by other means, and there's only one seat on that council. You have two people chasing it, so it's a scarce resource, and so we don't know what kind of strategy they're going to employ.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. What will be low is probably turnout, because you know you're asking voters to return to vote again, and they're thinking, well, you know, we just had this big election, and now I got to go vote again, and it's going to be difficult to motivate people and to get your friends and neighbors out there.
How about District D?
District D, this is interesting. You have a former incumbent running against a state representative, and I think you have to give the advantage of Cindy Nguyen, since she's already had that seat and people are familiar with her.
Yeah, she's out in the community a lot, is she not?
Yes, she is.
I'm not saying Jason Hughes is not. I just know for a fact that she is.
Yes, she's kind of the Helena Moreno type out there, meeting and greeting as many people as she can.
What did you say? Politics is what? Violence? How did you say it?
Violence by another means.
Violence by another means. Thank you. I try to learn something every day. That's my takeaway from today. Ed Shervinak, professor of political science at UNO. When we come back, we'll talk about another canceled coastal restoration project. Right now, time for WWL First News. And for that, we go to Ian Ozan here on WWL. 8:46, 14 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. First is the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. Now another sediment diversion project has been canceled, and Simone Malaz joins us now, campaign director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta. Good morning, Simone. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, so while this isn't really surprising news, it did come to light last week that the state had withdrawn the permits, or essentially canceled or decided not to move forward with, like just like you said, another river reconnection. This time on the east side of the river, it was called Mid-Breton.
Tell me where that is exactly for people to give them an idea.
Yeah, so it's around that Wills Point area on that side of the river. So there are some other natural openings on that side of the river, but they did, you know, do some work to think about, hey, what is the best place to choose a location, if we could choose that rather than letting Mother Nature do that. And they decided in that Wills Point area on the east bank of the river.
So tell me.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where did this plan come from and how did it go away?
Yeah, so as we talked about before many times on the show, which I'm grateful for, is, you know, reconnecting to the river has always been part of almost every major coastal restoration initiative for decades. We have something that other places in the world should be envious of. We have this big, beautiful Mississippi River, and we know that that's what built us here in Louisiana. And we know that we need to tap back into it to make sure that we have something sustainable for the future. We can dredge, we can build these projects, but if you're not changing the conditions, you're not changing the same forces that made you lose those places in the first place, then it's not sustainable, which is why we're big believers in that river reconnection.
So who designed this Mid-Breton sediment diversion project?
So it's evolved over time. It actually started even kind of in the pre-Katrina Rita days, even before the modern day coastal program. It was part of a study called the Louisiana Coastal Area Study. Mm-hmm. And at that time, it was called White Stitch. It's been part of every coastal master plan, and it has increased in size, but then ultimately decreased to about 35,000 CFS. So it was going to be smaller than its companion diversion, Mid-Barataria, that was planned for the west side of the river. But it's always been part of coastal plans for decades.
Has any money been spent on this so far?
Yeah, of course, we did spend about $90 million was approved to be spent on design and engineering, all part of oil spill funds. And so those monies came from different places. This particular pot of oil spill money came from the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. They were in charge of a certain pot of money that had to do with the criminal charges that were part of the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. So $90 million was approved for that, and they had construction estimates before that, but that's really one of the more devastating parts of this bad news, is that we were in the process of learning about how much this was going to take, what were the alternatives, if there were any alternatives that could be proposed, but really critical science that was needed for the east side of the river. It was all of that was all wrapped into the study process, which is now not going to move forward.
What was the reason given for canceling it?
So a couple of different reasons were given. One was stated on the cost of the project, but we that was all going to be part of the study process. We were not privy to any, you know, current cost estimates. Of course, all projects, you know, Tommy, everything costs more these days, including levee projects, including other coastal restoration projects. And so it had been cited that there was going to be an increase in the cost of the project. And then, of course, there's always concerns from places like the fishing industry. And that was all going, again, people don't like studies. They're not fun. They're not sexy to talk about. But it's really critical in helping us shape how we pick which tools we can use for our future. And that study, that information, that science, that research was going to not just tell us about what kind of project we can have, what kind of land we could build. It was going to tell us about impacts. And so we could start to address those and mitigate those. All of that was wrapped up into this study process that is now not going to move forward.
And to be clear, about studies being sexy, they don't, when it comes to places like Chick-fil-A, they don't just point a place out on a map and stick a pin in and say, here, let's do it here. They do a lot of studies to determine what's going to work, what's not going to work, what's successful, what's not. We'll pick it up when we come back. Orient me, Simone, if you will, on the West Bank across from Breton Sound, or this, where will we be talking about?
Yeah, so it is on that West Bank. I can, in the way that the terms of core speak and of all those speaks, they use mile points, those kinds of things. So it's kind of in that Delacroix area that is going to be a that was picked because it was a good place in the river to capture sediment. Same thing for like Mid-Barataria, that they wanted to pick a particular bend in the river to maximize the sediment that can be captured.
All right, we'll pick it up when we come back with Simone Malaz, Campaign Director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta, Mid-Breton. Did I get that, say that right? Mid-Breton, right? Yes, that's right. The Mid-Breton Sediment Diversion Project has been canceled by Gordon Dove and Coastal Protection Restoration Authority. 852, 8 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 858, couple of minutes left with Simone Malaz, the campaign director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta. How does this fit in, the cancellation to this, with the Coastal Master Plan? Because they put this Coastal Master Plan together. Now it seems as though we're kind of unilaterally deciding to do away with it. Am I wrong there or not, Simone?
What a great question, Tommy. The diversions, as we talked about before, were part of every coastal master plan since we started them after Katrina and Rita. And in this last master plan in 2023, they were actually included in what we call a future without action. So they were assumed to be moving forward and on the landscape because they had funding, they had permits, et cetera. And so other projects were put into that plan, knowing that those diversions would be in place and could give them, you know, the freshwater and sediment needed to nurture those. And so, you know, we talked about the studies before the break, too. And not just do those studies contain important science, they include important touch points with the public, so that people can weigh in, people can talk about it, people can understand the facts associated with it, and that seems to be missing in this case.
Thank you, Simone. I appreciate it. I don't know what's next. Are there any other diversions on the table that can be canceled?
No, that's another unfortunate consequence, to say the least, is there's nothing on the books right now that's planned with a major river reconnection. Mm.
Thanks. Appreciate your time. We'll take a break, come back, lighten up a little bit, talk about shucking oysters here on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence Data 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.